This is All Things Considered on Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Kendra Carr. The trial of State Representative Larry Inman started today. He's in federal court facing charges of extortion, soliciting a bribe, and lying to the FBI. IPR's Max Johnston is in Grand Rapids covering the case. He joins me over the phone to fill us in on what happened today. Hi, Max.
Hi, Kendra.
So what was on the docket for today?
Today was jury selection, jury instruction, and then just some basic sort of rule setting for the trial. And the prosecution ended up calling their first witness to the stand.
So let's start with the testimony. Who took the stand today?
Yeah, her name was Lisa Canada. She's the legislative director for the Michigan Regional Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Basically, she handles the lobbying for that trade group that is really at the center of these allegations against Larry Inman. As a reminder to anyone that doesn't know, Inman is accused of trying to sell his vote on Michigan's prevailing wage law to that group and then lying to the FBI about it.
So what was the gist of her testimony?
She basically elaborated on the relationship between the Carpenters Union and Larry Inman. She says the union was ramping up their lobbying efforts on the prevailing wage law in 2017 when she met Inman at a fundraiser they held in Lansing. They pretty quickly established that Inman would be interested in voting with them and preserving the prevailing wage law. So the Carpenters started writing checks to his reelection campaign, and ultimately over the course of the next year or so, they gave him about $2,000.
So they have this relationship. When does that turn into something the FBI starts considering as a criminal case?
Well, the way Canada told it today in her testimony, she said Inman was getting more and more desperate for cash as the year passed. He was facing some primary challengers that apparently he was struggling to sort of fend off. So eventually, right before the vote in the summer of 2018, Inman texts Canada and says he'll need $30,000 and a few other legislators will need some cash too if they're going to vote for keeping the prevailing wage law in place. Canada said she was shocked and really offended by that. She reached out to authorities. When Inman didn't hear back from her, he ended up voting no on the law, which is the opposite of what the Carpenters Union wanted from him.
So she's the prosecution's witness. Did they present any evidence for all this?
Yeah, they showed screenshots of text messages from Inman throughout this whole process, including the text message and when he basically asked for $30,000. And they played a phone call between Lisa and Inman that the FBI recorded after the vote.
What was your impression of those? Were those texts and that call incriminating?
Well, the text messages really don't look great for Larry Inman. And like I said, he pretty much clearly states that if you give more money to me and these other legislators, we can vote your way. The phone call wasn't quite as incriminating as I thought it would be. Basically, the prosecution here is trying to prove that there was a quid pro quo, basically that he deliberately sold his vote for cash. The text kind of bear that out. That's kind of what he was looking at. But in the phone call, he mentioned that some more cash would have sort of greased the wheels politically, but ultimately he said he was under political pressure and that's what factored into his vote, not any cash. So it wasn't quite as cut and dry as maybe the prosecution would have wanted.
So what did the defense have to say about all this?
So their cross-examination isn't until tomorrow. So that means Inman's attorney hasn't had a chance to parse through Lisa Canada's story quite yet. But Inman's attorney, Chris Cook, did point out that the Carpenters Union has been involved in the effort to remove Larry Inman from office. Especially since he's been indicted, and apparently the union gave that group some money. So I think part of his argument is that this whole case may be rooted in some political bias against Larry Inman. That's a point that he may raise later on, but we're not sure because that could raise a whole other crop of issues in the case. Plus, we do know that Inman's legal team will argue that he was under the influence of prescription opioids and alcohol that could have affected his judgment for those calls and text messages. That's the strategy we're sort of hearing about.
So what was it like inside the courtroom? I'm particularly interested in Inman.
Yeah, so Inman himself was pretty quiet. He didn't really speak much throughout the trial. He did throw me a peace sign when he walked in, which I thought was very nice. He was sort of visibly frustrated at times during Lisa Canada's testimony. Fidgeting, sometimes he would scribble a quick note on a piece of paper and then sort of hand it to Chris Cook kind of like angrily as if, you know, he's got something to say about all the stuff that she's saying on the stand. Besides that, Judge Robert Yonkers, the federal judge over this whole case, is a real no-nonsense guy. He was quick to interrupt both sides if they were repeating themselves, quick to resolve objections. He's really keen on like the pace and getting this done and really established the ground rules for the whole trial.
So that was today's schedule. Any idea of what we can expect next?
Lisa Canada's testimony is going to continue tomorrow, where she'll eventually be cross-examined by Larry Inman's legal team. And then we do know Lee Chatfield, the Speaker of the Michigan House, is going to testify at some point. We're not sure when. And the judge did say, looking out a little farther than that, the judge said the trial is likely to extend into early next week.
IPR's Max Johnston will be there keeping us updated. Thanks, Max.
Thank you, Kendra.